So we're joined on the line by Lyndall Montgomery. Lyndall is giving the talk at Speaker Series on February 20th at 7:30 p.m. titled, How to Survive What You've Already Been Through, and subtitle, Having a Gay Old Time. Lyndall, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. What a pleasure to be on.
Yeah, really happy to have you here on the phone, and we really appreciate you taking the time. I have to ask you right off the top, what in the world has incited you, influenced you to go through what you've already been through all over again and reading between the lines? Because, you know, the Arbor Gallery program sometimes is a little oblique. I'm imagining that you're doing a whole other coming out again. Is that accurate?
Well, you know, I kind of think in the Manquake Hill area, I would imagine that there's not really too many people that I would need to come out to.
No.
I'm kind of like my own little pride parade everywhere I go. That's sort of how it feels anyway.
That's really accurate, I think. Yeah. I've always seen you as a very proud gay person that does not hide it. And you live it and you're very comfortable in your skin. You're very confident in who you are. And you live a life that's even way beyond any kind of labels. I mean, you are also a very gifted musician and very generous with that gift and are constantly sharing it. And that's how I know you and how most of the people know you in the community.
Exactly.
So what has made you actually go through the eye of the needle again?
Well, here's hoping the eye of the needle is a little bit wider than it was in, let's say, 1986.
Let's hope.
Or 87. Small town or urban center, doesn't matter. I think that there's, you know, the language that we have as a culture, speaking of a culture as in Canadian culture.
Yes.
I think that our language has developed significantly. Doesn't mean that our prejudices and our biases have grown with our language, but it's not so odd now to hear the words gay, lesbian, homosexual, queer, bisexual, transsexual. These are more common words in our vernacular than I think ever before.
Yeah, I think that's true.
I think what made me feel like I wanted to say yes to Phil, and let me be clear, it was Phil Arbor who called me and said, do you think that this topic is relevant? Do you think the topic of being gay is relevant?
Wow.
And I was like, oh man, you can't ask me that and then give me a choice about whether I want to talk or not. Because
that was an automatic for you.
Yeah, exactly. One begats the other. And I think probably the example I could use to highlight that most acutely would be the fact that it is 2016.
Yes.
And at our own local high school in Van Cleek Hill, there is no Gay Straight Alliance. There is no visible outward support system for any of our rural youth in the area.
Right.
Who might be experiencing questions of gender identity, questions of linguistic identity even.
Yes.
And it's not all about the youth. I mean, listen, it's about anybody coming to terms with something that's significantly different than they thought it was. But, I mean, primarily, I want to focus the talk on the 20th on how, as a community, we can support our youth.
Yes, yes.
Okay. So I think one of the things that I kind of vowed myself to do when I moved to Dalkeith in 2000, I guess it was, 2001 maybe?
15 or 16 years ago already.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe it was 2002. I'm not sure. Anyway, a little while ago, I came from Toronto, so and was a very active, politicized person in Toronto. Mm-hmm. And it's not hard to find likeness in an urban center.
Yes.
And what I loved and was equally frustrated with when I moved to Dalkeith was that my community became way more diverse, in so much as that you get who you get. You don't get to necessarily pick and choose, you know?
Yes.
Your neighbors are your neighbors. So all of a sudden I had intergenerational friends. I was friends with lots more families. I had a more diverse network of people in Dalkeith than I had in Toronto, a very, very interesting thing. But the one thing that there was not and that I missed deeply was a sense of community, a gay community of any sort.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things that I noticed immediately, and I actually went to VCI when I first moved here, and I met with the administration at the time and said, you know, like, what resources are in place for our youth around here? And there was nothing in any sort of formalized way. Mm-hmm. So they're like, oh, well, you know, the kids can access the counselors here at school and whatnot. But if a kid wanted any additional and specific support around gender identity, sexual orientation, any of those topics, Rockland or Ottawa or West Island were sort of the closest locations. And I mean, that requires asking somebody to drive you, you know?
Yes, yes.
So for me to say yes to giving a talk on February 20th at the Arbor Gallery, and, you know, it's an evening of my life, but it doesn't feel like that's what I'm being asked to do. That might be what Phil's asking me to do, but what I feel like I'm saying yes to and saying yes to as a commitment to myself is that if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to sort of reveal where there's distinct gaps in the support systems, then I have to also be willing to put some effort behind saying, and how, as a community, myself included,
yes,
can we take responsibility for maybe coming up with some safety mechanisms for our kids? Because yes, guaranteed, there are questioning kids in our community.
Yes.
And what their life experience will be like, has, there's a lot of variables attached to that. But I know that as a kid coming out in any community, the fear of rejection and being ostracized is an extreme thing.
Yes.
And then being fear of rejection and being ostracized in a community where you don't have a choice. You can't really just go, oh, okay, well, I'll just change schools. Or I'm going to go to the Pink Triangle school with all these other day kids over here because I'm getting picked on at my own school.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist.
No.
Right? So what does exist? And, you know, and another thing, and again, it's like, how can we, again, as a community, feel responsible enough to actually be spurred to action? And what I mean by that is, like, I sent out an email and I've left voicemails for all the churches in Van Cleek Hills. So the priest, the reverend, the pastor,
yes,
in the area, and just saying that same thing. Like, I'm giving this presentation on the 20th. A, I would love if you could come.
Yes.
B, it would be fantastic to meet with you guys ahead of time because I'm curious. I would like to be able to compile a list of resources for youth. And one of the questions I have is, if somebody came to you as a pastor here at a local church saying, this is something I'm struggling with, how would you counsel them?
Yes.
What would you say to them?
What a great question. And what kind of response did you get?
Zero.
Really?
Zero. I've got no response from any of the local admin again at VCI.
Yeah.
And this will be my third time knocking on that door.
Yes.
So this is the part where I'm like, okay, Lyndall, so stop talking and start doing something.
Yeah. Wow.
Right?
Yeah. So if I hear you correctly, not only are you going to be presenting the situation, the topic, and you, I guess, your personal experience will be a part of it, I suppose.
For sure.
Yeah, but
yeah,
you will
and
also,
keeping in mind that it's, you know, again, it's my personal experience where there's the variables are specific to my circumstances. But
yes, of course.
There's some pretty common threads in there.
Yeah. But maybe unlike other speakers, you're also going to include in your presentation kind of stepping forward and saying there is a need here locally, and I'm stepping forward and I'm sort of enlisting or recruiting others that want to step forward with me. That's going to be a part of your presentation.
Correct. Yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, that would also be something that I think. How do we get the people there that would normally look at it and go, this has nothing to do with me? And I think one of the methods that works for me when I realize that I want to be involved in an issue that isn't necessarily direct to me, but it has an impact on me. So let's say, I don't know, something like taxation, for example, where of course it's not, if I want to get on the bandwagon about, you know, getting a petition together and making sure that my local MP can take that one step further.
Yes.
That's kind of what I'm saying here is that you don't need to be an Olympic athlete to be the coach.
Right. good analogy. Yes.
Yeah. You just need to show up with some willingness and say that the kids in this community matter to me.
Yeah.
And I'm willing, and here's how I'm willing. So, you know, one of the things that I'd like to draw on is to not suggest that we all have the same experience, but to suggest that behind the experience is a feeling. And that feeling is something that we can relate to more than not. So
yes.
we all have come out about something in our lives, I guarantee.
Yes.
We've all either had to come out about the fact that, oh, I don't know, I have cancer. Maybe yes. someone's had to come out about the fact that they're having an affair.
Yes.
So what coming out means, in my case, I'm talking specifically about coming out as being a queer person, but it's having a hard conversation. And at the core of that hard conversation is a feeling, and that feeling is probably fear of rejection.
Yes.
Abandonment, being unloved, all those things that are now, once we get rid of what the thing is and get to the feeling, there's a lot of common ground there.
I was just going to say, what I hear you saying and appealing to, I guess, is the humanness in this situation when you move back, when you move past the particular, and as you say, it can have any color of the rainbow attached to it, is that it's a very, very human situation of feeling isolated, of feeling different, of feeling ostracized, of feeling picked on or judged, and we are all vulnerable and susceptible to that at different points in our lives. And
exactly.
We would have all appreciated, you know, somebody stepping forward and saying, hey, you know, you're not alone. You don't have to absorb all of this by yourself. And, you know, there's an opportunity to share and to communicate and to feel supported and to be with other people who care about you as a human being.
That's exactly correct. 100%.
Yeah. Well, I'm really tempted. I don't want to give away your entire presentation, Lyndall, but I think you've really revealed a large part of it here and underlined really the importance of as many people as possible in the community to show up and to be a part of this and allow themselves to feel the feeling that you're talking about here and seeing if it's enough of a strong feeling that they're going to sort of be willing to step forward and get involved in some way to step up and not wait, you know, this is not fear-mongering, but not wait for a tragedy to be triggered by, by an action.
That's exactly correct, Jean. Yeah. And, you know, the how to survive what you've already been through part is kind of, it's a little bit just like, what is she talking about? And a little bit literal that usually by the time you get to that point of having to reveal whatever your secret is,
yes,
it's because you've reached critical mass in yourself.
Yes.
And you've already been through it. So now you're going to put it out there into the world, and now the world's going to react and respond to you.
Yes.
Maybe judge you, maybe be critical of you. Who knows?
Yeah.
But you're going to have to survive other people's opinions and feelings about your personal experience.
Yeah. But as you said, it's if we stop and think about it, it's a process that most of us have gone through, and if we haven't, we're lesser persons for it, because it is a maturing and a character building, to use a cliche, but it really is a character building process. And I think something that is sort of missing in Western society is a coming of age kind of, you know, ritual that, you know, in many, many third world countries, I think, you know, they've gone through, but we gave up on it, on those kinds of rituals a long time ago. And I think we're kind of a weaker society for it, because, you know, having a coming of age or a kind of a declaration that I'm now whatever, an adult or now, you know, something, mm-hmm. declaring yourself to be something is a really, I think, a focusing kind of experience that maybe more people should be going through. I don't know.
Well, I don't think it's going to hurt us to make statements about who we are, and I think that I have a profound responsibility as an adult who's made it this far in life as an openly queer, that which is my word of choice for
yes.
my identity,
yes.
Lesbian, queer, for an openly queer woman. I feel like I have a responsibility to be visible, because there was a lack of visibility for me in my community as a kid.
Yes.
And being able to be found or followed is a very important thing.
It's very, very reminiscent. What you're saying is very reminiscent of what happened, what I think Rick Mercer sort of threw out to the the queer and gay community a couple of years ago when there was the young boy in Ottawa that committed suicide because of the bullying and stress that he was experiencing at his school. And remember his rant was, don't worry, it gets better, is not good enough. You know, we have to actually get out there and make it better now. You know, telling young people that it gets better is obviously, you know, not working, and there's some desperate kids out there. So he challenged all of the his fellow queers and gay people to actually come out to, like, he said he had never done it. He said, I always assumed people knew I was a gay guy, so I never actually did it, but I'm doing it now in this rant, and I'm challenging all of my, you know, my fellow gay people to do the same thing, because it's just under the radar maybe, and it's maybe a little bit too easy for people to not even ask the question. And so I think it's time to make it really public.
Exactly, to make it very public and to actually stand up and be counted and be visible is a whole different story than hitting a like button on Facebook, right?
So, well, kudos to you for launching that kind of movement, let's call it, here in our local community. And I'm not going to wish you the best of luck.
Well, let's not forget to have a gay old time with it, too.
Exactly. I was going to say, break a leg and have a gay old time. I love the subtext,
We're throwing the best parties, so.
Exactly. Okay, Lyndall, well, I really appreciate...
Claim that as a group.
Say again?
I said to claim that as a group,
exactly.
We don't know how to throw a party, so.
Okay, well, I'm just going to remind everybody, this is the speaker series talk coming up February the 20th. It's a Saturday, 7:30 p.m. It's at the Arbor Gallery, right at the corner of Home and Higginson Avenue. And it's Lyndall Montgomery talking on the topic of how to survive what you've already been through, having a gay old time. And Lyndall, thanks again for coming on the show with us tonight. And we'll see you at the gallery on the 20th of February.
It was a pleasure talking to you, and I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent.
All right. You have a great night.
Thanks, Lyndall. You too.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye-bye.